All right. Good evening. Good evening, friends, foes, visitors. All are welcome to tonight's podcast. Loopholes on life. What do we say, Stitch?
Learn from the past, live for the moment, and love for an eternity.
That is the motto, sir. Well done. Another lovely night to be with you. A little spring, summer vibe in the air today. And couldn't be happier to be taking some time hanging out with you, Stitch, and talking some cool subjects and having some fun, man. Tonight, we decided to do something a little different. I think we both kind of had a long, hard little week getting towards the end of it here, and it was a night for a beer. It was a night for a beer. So I said to Stitch, I said, let's get the same thing. Let's try something different out there. So we are enjoying a libation while we come to you live tonight. And I think it's pretty damn good. Have you had this one before?
No. I went into the store and I all of a sudden realized, like, wait, we are a couple states apart. How am I going to ensure that you can find the same beer I can? Outside of getting, obviously, a Miller Lite.
If we sat on this podcast and told everybody about Miller Lite,
Bud Ice, it really hits the core.
What is your favorite? Everybody's got like their favorite cheap beer though, and I personally actually do like Miller Lite a lot in terms of like I'm at a ball game or something.
The switch.
Do you have between Coors, Bud, Miller? You know these cheaper ones, PBR. Do you have a fave?
I mean, I would say at this point, I honestly, if I'm going to drink some beer, I'm going to go one of three directions.
Okay.
I'm going to go like a cerveza. All
right. Right?
And I go a cerveza, like that nice summer brew, right?
Sure.
That nice just beach brew. I need a beach brew. And I feel good. I feel good about the early afternoon beverage. Or outside of that, I'll go for the experience, right? Like whatever the other beer savant around me, and there's far more beer savants around me than I am around them.
They're popping up, these people.
Yeah. Oh man. So like anyone that leads introduces their name and then says the word IPA within the first 5 minutes is a problem and an opportunity all in one.
Yeah.
However, those gentlemen, like, I'll enjoy an IPA. I'll try to experience. I'll test my taste buds. And then the third kind is just me, like, making bad decisions. So I don't really – these days, I can I really choose between Miller and I get and Bud?
You're unbiased. I mean, what you're saying is you're unbiased when it comes to just getting a good old cheap beer.
Yeah, I'm pretty much going to try to, like, dig up dirt and make my own my own alcoholic beverage that evening.
Yeah.
Before like really resorting, and I'm not trying to sound pompous. I'm just saying, like, if I mean, I have wheels. I like.
Hey,
if
know,
I'm that deep that I need a Miller or a Bud or you know what? I enjoy a Coors.
I'll drink a Coors. All right, there you go. We got to the answer we were looking for.
Yeah.
Course.
Way
and
too
you know,
long.
Honestly,
apologize.
Man, sometimes it's just a placebo effect. I mean, maybe you like core, you just like the way, you know, it reminds you of something or a little nostalgia, or maybe you drank it in college more than other beer. Maybe it's just, I know a guy who lives in Denver and like drinking a Coors Light for him is just like, you know, like almost damn near therapeutic because they're, you know, obviously the brewery's there and stuff. So
that's why I was careful. Stan. Therapeutic. It's more like going to create therapy issues.
This is a real thing.
I believe it, but I want to make sure I'm not aligned in that class because Coors does not do that. Want to know what does that for me? Jack Daniels.
Jack JD.
But it brings me back to the therapist
It's never the right way to definitely provide therapy. But my greater point was like, you know that feeling when you're just like, you know, you're having a Guinness in Ireland or a Napa cab while you sit in Napa Valley. It's just something about that that just makes you, gives you a warm fuzzy feeling, you know?
What I know is that you're a more sophisticated man than me, Stan. what I know is that, like, you're in touch with that. And actually, I respect it. And as I age, I'm growing toward it and away from it all at once. You know what I mean? I know what I know. I like what I like.
Yes,
I think what I think. Mm-hmm. But I also respect the individuals that discern.
Sure.
I'm slowly feeling that way about wine because wine's a little more fun to discern. It's mm-hmm. not like scale of economy businesses, you know? They're not just trying to make some bucks. There's a few like beer brewers that are like, oh, it's about the craft. Want to know what? The craft is really, at that point, why aren't you making wine?
Right. Yeah. No, I know. Beer, to me, has a much smaller spectrum of what it really can do. I mean, you know, if there's a, you know, a box in which you can fill up with adjectives of beer, it's yay big. And a wine, I mean, it's just endless, you know. And that, I agree with you, Stitch. It's more exciting. But beer
Stan,
is cool.
Introduce your experience, because you deserve this, too.
Well,
you deserve to be acknowledged as the wine connoisseur that you are, but there's a better, more formal name.
I mean, it's funny. I guess we're already on a couple podcasts we haven't even talked about. Yeah, being a sommelier, which is part of what I do and what I've been doing, and it just, you know, it's something where we take a lot of time, effort, and energy to know a lot about wine and have appreciation for it. And I've always liked just about wine, you know, it's just grapes, right, at the end of the day. And they're mm-hmm. you're turning them into this alcoholic juice, if you want to be very simple about it. But the amazing things that you get from it, the notes, you know, let's take Italian, you know, a Brunello or something. And then when it hits the glass, and we put our nose in there, we're smelling, you know, orange peel and, you know, leather and cedar wood and
gross.
Rose petal.
Old man's shoes. Worn work shoes after hard day's work. It's not an 8-hour day.
It's
not an 8-hour day for this old man, like, in leather shoes.
Yeah, he worked hard.
Yeah. Oh, 10-hour day? No, this is 10 and a half. I think he burned the midnight oil here.
Yeah, he did not wear socks.
Yeah, no, he was just sweaty. You know what? He slept in these shoes after that hard day.
No, what are you talking about? Leather can smell good. You got a brand new fresh handbag smell, brand new car smell.
Nice baseball gloves.
Yeah, there you go.
I get it.
That's it. No,
I don't want to drink it.
But the bottom line is, how the hell does a grape go off and create a smell of leather? Like, that's the beauty of it, you know, and how that happens.
That's
cool.
Dude, that's the dynamics of life that I love, and that's where I relate to your skill set in that way. And I relate to it in a macrocosm way that isn't as identifiable and as meaningful as your skill set, because your focus in one angle means something to people. My kind of, like, I like to think I want to learn to become a sommelier in life. I mean, that's what I am. Like,
good point.
Sommelier, I like to think of it in terms of life, at least. I like to think of it as, it's not a destination, it's a mission statement.
Yeah, and you know, all it really means is steward of wine. So in a way, you're right.
Yes.
Like, just a steward of life. And
that's awesome.
That's a good point, Stitch. I mean, that's kind of cool. And to make it a little comical here, I guess, you know, as a sommelier, I'm able to help you grab a bottle of wine to go perfectly with the food you're ordering. Oh, you're having an Alfredo pasta. We want this Chardonnay with a little vintage from blah, blah, blah. And you are doing the same thing maybe in life, like you said. And if you were this role, it's kind of cool. Hey, you got this problem? Here's what we need to do. You know?
Yeah, you're right. That is how I am. That's what I want to become, at least.
Well, you're already partly there, man. I mean, certainly you've been able to help me out in some stuff, and I know a lot of people look to you for some wisdom. That's just kind of the guy you are, man, and you're blessed with that ability to to be intuitive in that way. And that's, we're going to see and hear more and more about that as we continue to peel back the layers of the onion of loopholes on life together on our podcast. Before we move on from our much needed alcohol talk, I do want to give a little shout out. There's no dog in this fight. There's no advertising on this, but this was Lagunitas and it was Little Sump, Little Something. Is that how you'd say it? It's S-U-M-P-I-N.
Something.
It's a little something.
A little something. A little something, something.
I've never, like, put that word to paper. Something. That's kind of cool. Something ale. And these guys are out of California, and I think they bought a big property in Chicago now, too. So they're getting pretty big, these guys. They started as a small craft brewery. But, yeah, nice, smooth little brewski right here. Kind of nutty. I almost get like, do you get that?
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
You're nutty too, my friend. Yeah, like, nutty is.
But I'm also smooth.
It is a smooth beer. I'm ask not the lie. Wife. Did you say ask the wife? Yeah. So, real quick sidebar too. I got to tell you this. Yeah. I didn't even tell you this story. I saw Depeche Mode last night. You know the band Depeche Mode?
No.
They have My Own Personal Jesus is like their big hit. My Own Personal Jesus.
Oh, like back in like seventh grade?
Yes. Do you remember that? Yeah. And they had that cool riff that like. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have a few other hits that you know, but yeah. You don't know
really?
Right off the top of your head. Yeah.
Hits though. Hits,
oh, yeah.
Then.
Oh yeah,
hits?
Like 80s. They were probably one of the bigger bands in the 80s.
Okay, so we got like Madonna, Poison, and then Personal
they're
Jesus.
They're getting
guys.
In there. I mean, if you might have another band or two that you mentioned, but they were big. And especially amongst like people older than us, cuz we were a little young during that era. So we were a little young for Depeche Mode. Now, listen. I get it. I know what you're thinking.
No,
you hear
I
my own.
Per-
I too was like.
I dig that.
I too was though, kind of like, oh man, I don't know. This show is gonna be whatever. These guys are awesome. I mean, awesome, awesome, awesome. Like, and you know me, I'm a pretty discerning rock fan. I really, you know.
Yeah, top five favorite bands off the top.
Me, you know, Springsteen, Stones are in the top two. I love the Black Crowes. I do like Pearl Jam a lot. And who's going to sneak in at my number five? Shoot, man. I don't know. I have to think about that.
No,
I mean,
Zap.
You know, Zeppelin and
Zep. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. That's probably it. But,
Ace of Base, bro.
Oh, of course. I mean, I love live 1999 was just what a night. What a night. You sound just like her.
Right? I probably did. I probably sounded better.
I don't even know that I would have known a song by them, to be honest.
And come on. Once I started doing
once you started,
understand.
Of course.
I mean, that song is impressed in our minds. Like, guys, yeah. Everybody listening to us, laugh at me right
actually,
now.
The one part of the song was cool. With, she lives a lonely life. Like that kind of like
oh,
little
you're
more.
You're singing another song.
Wait, isn't that
you're,
I saw the
you're,
song?
You're referencing a second Ace of Base song.
I thought that was the same.
I
one.
Think no. All that she wants is
oh,
another baby.
Oh my God! Okay,
she's
so that,
gone tomorrow. Boy.
I'm gonna,
that she wants is another baby.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that yeah. song is actually kind of cool because
oh yeah,
that's a little gritty.
All that she
a little,
wants
little
is
grit.
Another baby. The message, like how many people in the 90s didn't listen to that? All that she wants, it's another
oh
baby.
Oh my God.
She's gone tomorrow. Boy, all that she wants is another baby.
Well, she's talking about wanting to get laid, right?
I think.
She's not talking about actually wanting like a little infant.
I think she's saying she wants another little one and then say peace out. Daddy.
I don't think so. I think she's talking about getting
lit. Well, we don't think of that in this day and age. That sounds like trouble to us. But back then, it's like, hey.
I think she's trying to say, I want to get it on and then move on. But man, yeah, Ace of Base, Jesus.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Well, hold on, hold on though, because I don't want to get too far off before I give these guys, and then I want to move on though.
Depeche Mode
is awesome, dude, and these guys are still very relevant. Like the music they're making now, their performance that they're giving now. I don't know them from the years ago. I never saw them in the 80s. I never even saw them in the 90s. I saw them just yesterday. They have to be in the prime of their performance. I mean, they're so good, so on point. I just was very impressed.
So important? That way, you almost shortened that word. So important is an important description of a band.
Important rock and roll. Important? I think you misheard me. I didn't say important.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
I was like, this is another level. So are they cracking your top three now? Should have learned from them.
I'm a big believer in if a band puts on a performance that's of a lot of worthy note and you were just impressed,
yeah.
I like to share it with people because, you know, you might see, Depeche Mode's in town. And like we just would have, what we totally would have done. If I didn't go see them, we would have like laughed it off and been like, oh, my God, my own personal Jesus. Remember that dance in sixth grade? Oh, my God. I wonder, they must be all washed up. And then you don't go, and it turns out these guys are, like, sick. So just a little shout-out, I guess, to them and their performance.
Yeah.
At the Barclays Center last night was really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. And Stan, I want to say humbly, I would have always been down. I wouldn't have been one of those people. Just as much as I'm challenging you, I'm challenging you to describe them to the extent of their greatness that you feel already. And you might even create a further affinity for them along the way. And all of us might. And maybe they deserve it from all of us.
They can. Well, I can describe it a little bit in that sense. One is.
But let me just say. I am not one of those people that would have laughed it off. I would have totally gone. I would have gone to an Ace of Base. I'd go to an Ace of Base concert with you tomorrow, and I would judge them freshly.
Oh, wow. And, you are a very open mind then. I would not do that, see?
You wouldn't?
No,
for real?
No. No way.
Okay.
If you were like, hey, man, I got an extra Ace of Base ticket. You want to go?
Oh, I'm not going to pay for them or seek them out or inconvenience my life.
Right. No.
If I happen to be in a moment that I'm like, hey, it's cost effective. Let's give them a shot. You know what I mean?
God, I'm torn.
I would
you
give
honestly,
almost anyone a
Stitch,
shot.
You literally yeah. picked the perfect band that just might be on the cusp of where I would say, I don't know. I guess I'd check it out. Ace of Base. I mean, shit. I'd literally like sit down and like turn my head a few times just thinking about that. What?
And then you'd see the sign. Then you'd open up your eyes.
And then I just
think life is demanding
dance
without
the night
understanding.
Away.
You know?
Gosh. Well. Anyways,
it's
pretty
awesome.
Cool.
So one more time, where do we go to find their stuff?
Oh, like, man, YouTube, YouTube, I mean, iTunes, Apple Music, like they have, I looked them up because the next day I was kind of jazzed about it still and I wanted to listen to a few songs while I worked out. These guys have like 40 studio albums. I mean, it's insane. They seem like they just never stop working. They're very hard workers in terms of musician, obviously, just by their amount of body of
longevity
work.
Too.
And this guy, dude, is awesome. So two of my favorite frontmen.
Does he have long hair?
He doesn't now, but he is.
Did he when he sang Personal Jesus?
I don't know, man. I haven't seen
that. That'd be an interesting question,
right? I don't
know.
I don't think his MO has ever been long hair. He's very.
Right.
He seems to me to be hugely influenced by Freddie Mercury. Like he
is very
flamboyant.
A little Queen, right?
Yeah, very flamboyant, very. Out there, but has a great voice, but I don't think quite as good as Freddie Mercury. But yeah, it's cool, man. They got a cool thing going on. I give them a lot of kudos, and they're in their 50s, you know, so they're still doing it and pulling.
They're young, man.
Hey,
dude, a lot of like, what is youth, right?
Yeah,
it's all relative. Time for another topic,
dude. I think they're actually a great example of that. Because you know, I've seen
getting better with age, like a fine wine, to bring it all the way back.
Bring it home, Stitch. Way to go, buddy. But one thing we kind of did say we would like to talk about and touch on is the idea of dreams. You know, I think it's an amazing concept. I don't think enough of us think about it. I don't think enough of us know what it even is. We spend a third of our life in this state of dream, and we don't really do anything with it, for better or for worse. And I was talking with my man Stitch, and I just feel like, you know, I think we had a good little dialogue, but I think you had some good insight to offer, man. So this week in our podcast, I wanted to throw it out there and just talk with you and our listeners about dreams. And certainly I want to bounce some things off you and kind of kick it over to you for a second, man. And what do you think about dreams and the world of dreams? And how do you stand
like the marvelous soccer players we were? And it's the reason you were a striker or a forward, left forward. And I was a goalie, so I'm going to kick it right back to you. I'll punt it right back. And I'm going to ask you, what is the last dream that you remember?
I remember a dream about a girl, and I don't remember much. I remember it's not super, super vivid. We were, like, on a beach, and we ran into some friends. And I guess that's it. Like, I don't.
That's awesome, right? It's a great challenge.
Yeah, I have so few vivid, exciting dreams anymore.
Right, because we let them go eventually. And here's the challenge. Remember the stitch in your ear, Stan, tomorrow morning and the morning after. What was your best dream? Even when you think you can't remember, don't let that answer be your answer. Let yourself know that Stitch's question hangs true. Like, what was your best dream last night? Because you had dreams. And that Stitch in your ear is not going to accept, I didn't have any dreams, or I don't remember. I'll just say I'm a patient man, and there is a world without time here that I'm waiting for you to come to me, okay?
Okay.
If everybody does that, they'll start remembering their dreams. Let's all start there to figure out what we're doing. To your point, Stan, with that third of our life, one third of our life, if not more, sometimes for some, a little less. Less when we care about it less, too. As we age and we deprioritize it, you know what? Dreams can be amazing and fun and insightful, but we just let it go. It's not just rebooting our machines, friends.
Yeah, I think that's it. Is there ways to, like, engage yourself as you prepare to go to bed? I'm sure, you know, living a healthy lifestyle or whatnot is always something that would help. But, like, are there ways to mentally get your mind in the right place and be prepared to capture a wave of a dream better?
Yeah.
To
your point,
you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's some opinion and some straight up fact, and then some straight up subjective, like, test and learn. Okay. Everybody's different, right? And, Stan, you're doing your usual, like, video shake at an inappropriate place.
Oh, goodness.
I love that it's become a thing, but I don't want it to be a real thing for too long.
At least I haven't flashed you the privates yet. You're still just getting a little.
We're still young in the podcast. At least just all you have to do is bend the camera. Anyway, so going back to the point, though, what was the point? What is the point?
Oh, God.
Where am I? Where are we?
What were we talking about? Oh, I think I was asking you, like, what kinds of preparations you can make. I mean, not just, like, you know, for preparation sounds a little, like, structured. I mean, how do I go to bed tonight and improve my ability to dream?
Here's the thing. Think about it right before we go to bed. I'm going to remember my dreams. I'm about to go to sleep. You know, if you pray, say your prayer. If you meditate, meditate. If you want to just, if you love someone,
okay,
remind yourself that you love them and you're saying goodnight to them in your head, out loud, doesn't matter. But go through your practice. Brush your teeth. That's not subjective. I'm saying brush your teeth, punks. anyone that's not brushing their teeth, I get the one-off mistake, but brush your teeth. Use that rhythm. Use that pattern of a calm-down exercise to remind yourself.
Is flossing important to this process?
Like, flossing will do a couple things. You'll have, once you start flossing again, after we've all waited way too long, you have nightmares, the most horrifying nightmares for 7 days. But after about 30 days, you'll have very pleasant dreams. The gingivitis monsters will go away from your nightmares.
The first night you floss and you haven't, and you're just spitting out blood. And then that night, it's
and
just,
you want to just massage your gums into your bones.
That's
you
the
know
night,
that feeling?
That's the night friggin' Freddy Krueger just shows up in your dream.
And you want him to take you. Nothing feels worse than the first time you flossed in like a millennia. But you're so glad you did it. You feel good. You watched the show. You took way too long. You went back and forth so many times. Like a couple crevices took too long to get into.
And
then you pull it on out.
Shit's flying out of your teeth onto the glass and stuff.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Just disgusting.
You pull out like memories.
Just dirty, savage. Experience.
Oh yeah, and then the floss literally collects memories.
Yeah,
memories
and then it just goes into the toilet just to be flushed down.
Oh, good for you.
You don't throw yours in the toilet.
Well, I said mine collect memories. I save my memories.
Oh
no. That'd be the grossest. No, I mean I go trash can. You go toilet.
That's like some. Some scary shit right there. You got a box of used flosses under your back.
No, I mean, right next to my tissue.
Oh, God. Anyways, where were we? We were talking about something important for a second.
Yeah, going back. That was great, though. Man, the floss is a great topic, though. Let's be honest. Get in your bedtime habit, for one, right? Mm-hmm. Like, be ready. Just like anybody, since we were babies, we've been preparing for this. Since there was a sun and moon, a sun that set and a moon that rose, and a sun that rose again in the morning, we have melatonin. Our chemicals in our body, melatonin is secreted at night, like to remind us it's sleepy time, folks. Mm-hmm. Let's go. As we prepare for that, let's try to get called a circadian rhythm? I don't know what I'm saying. I hope so. I think
you
it's
sound
circadian.
Really smart, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like a bunch of you combine like metaphor with philosophical, like just mix up words. I think it's a circadian rhythm.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so you're talking about the routine and this and that, and that's gonna help. And eventually, you know what you're getting at is you're gonna maybe start experiencing your dreams a little bit more. You're a good dreamer. You always have been. You know, you actually can participate. Are you participating in these dreams? Like, are you like literally controlling the scenarios and like hearing and feeling and know that you're asleep? Or is this still like, for me, I'm just along for the ride on a dream. And then if I wake up and remember
at
it,
best,
that would be
right?
Cool.
Yeah.
Can you give me an answer just on how that works for you? I mean, I'm curious.
So, yeah. No, I mean, it's a great point. So, like, Stan, as a good friend, is, I hope, friends, that I'm a good participant in this podcast, but he's politely reminding me that I'm being very long-winded, but I'm just having fun. And I want to tell you, like, in closure, get in that routine, floss, and then, like, go to bed remembering you're about to dream. And then wake up and remember you just dreamt. Not that you're waking up, what you have to do next. No, first focus on you just dreamt. And those two things, right before and right after, will help you, to your point, Stan. First, remember. Okay. Everyone forgets their dreams. Mm-hmm. Most dreams they remember are incredibly, frankly, sexy. And most of the time, horrifying and sad. Like death, loved ones, mostly not ourselves. Everyone we love. You know what I mean? Or just crazy monsters. They still come to the best of us, you know? Like something you couldn't even believe in the real day. But start to master remembering your dreams, and then you can go so much further. So going back to your point now, Stan, because like I know I don't think I digressed. I think I rewound and fixed a former digression.
Okay. Well, what's the point, though, that we were going to get back to specifically? Just that, like, can you participate in the dreams?
Oh, yeah.
So
have you flown in a dream before?
Yes.
When was the last time you did that? Mm. Not a date, but roughly. I mean, give or take a decade.
3 months ago.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you know as you were flying that you were dreaming?
I don't think I did.
You just thought it was real.
I think so.
And isn't that even more powerful?
Yeah, I would think so.
Isn't that wild? And then we quote-unquote wake up and dismiss it as a dream?
Right.
We should wake up and dismiss life as a life and then start living out our dreams.
Interesting, man. Yeah, no, I mean, that's exciting to think about and
empowering. Right?
I feel like the dreams though can just be so, they can be so over the top, and there's so much happening that's so, you know, not necessarily truths. It's exaggerated because it's a dream. I almost feel like,
but no, you're coming at it from a human experience, Dan. What's real? Why is it exaggerated? Because it hasn't existed in your waking life yet?
Correct. You know? I guess so.
And then,
but
how
I guess my point
made?
Is, are we looking for this? It's kind of like almost like a parable or something. Like, are we looking for the subtleties that we pluck out? Like, okay, there was this whole dream about maybe, let's say, this girl or something. And we were flying, and then we're in Australia, and we were surfing, and a shark tried to get, like, am I critically thinking about the entire body of this, or are you just pulling out the subtleties? Okay, like, hey, why am I thinking about this girl? You know, maybe this is something that's important to me. Or, hey, you know, maybe I really need to learn how to surf.
Yes. So, my friends, we're talking about that one third of our time that we spend in our whole lives that somehow none of us talk about and none of us remember. If we started forgetting one third of our work week, they would throw us in an asylum, right? Am I right, Stan?
Mm-hmm. No,
I mean,
you're
like,
right.
What if I forgot one third of my woken day? Like anything between, like, okay, work a 9-hour day. My first 3 hours don't tell me anything important. I'm just not going to remember.
I like
it.
This guy.
Yeah, right? So, like, what, like, I mean, hopefully, if you don't like me, you're going to tell me in the first third because that's when I'll forget. So what do we do with this whole time frame of our lives, one third of our lives? That's 8 hours, 8 hours out of 24 that we ought to sleep. Sometimes we sleep more.
Mm-hmm.
Often we sleep less.
Yeah.
Maybe if we got more out of those 8 hours, we might choose to sleep more. Maybe if we chose to sleep more, we might get more out of the other, you know, 16.
Yeah, man, it's possible.
So, you know, we think about dreams a bit, and, you know, you were telling us earlier, like, what was the last dream you remembered?
I had a vague dream of being on a beach. I was with this friend of mine, this girl that I know. We were drinking beer, we were talking to friends, and there was some little tribulation that happened at some point. I forget what it was. It was just a casual dream. There was some memory in there, but you think about it for all but 2 seconds when you wake up and then move on and go about your day. You know, that's who I am.
Right?
That's who I am. And that's why I'm excited to talk about it, like to challenge myself on that.
You're so right. And we all, but want to know what? That was a pretty specific dream. And it was pretty good recognition that, like, a lot of us don't take the time. Listen, I fail all the time, and I fail all the time at remembering my dreams, recounting them, appreciating their importance, and then doing something magnificent in them, which we're all capable of doing.
Yeah. What we're doing in them is always up for debate, you know?
Yeah, because those are still decisions. Yeah, we're sometimes victim of the circumstance, the crazy, like, boogeyman, like, that. It's a horrifying, like, most of us are running, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you might remember the reason why. Do you remember a little bit of the reason why I started to remember my dreams?
Well, you were having crazy dreams as a kid, right?
Yeah. Crazy.
So you were all bad, all nightmares, or were you, you know, also having dreams very lucid that were not?
Yeah. Great question. No, they were nightmares. They were night terrors. And what happened to me, though, what was beautiful, you know, is the concept of alchemy, you know, lead to gold, pretty much, and a more spiritual meaning for another time, right? But it's, you know, turning lemons to lemonade, to say it in another way. Mm-hmm. It was the impetus to everything. It made me stronger, right? I had horrible friends. I once saw this horrifying movie, while others may have been seeing, you know, Rosemary's Baby, The Exorcist, Halloween, like these horrible movies. When I was a young kid, maybe 5 years old, how old were we when this came out? You might remember, Stan, but I saw a movie in this movie, there was this evil person with devil in her name, and what she did for a living was kill and skin dogs and then sell them as fur coats and then rock them herself and try to walk around town, like, basically bullying others into giving her their dogs. And her name was, my friends, Cruella de Vil.
Right. Forgot about her.
And isn't that, like, Disney, like, the poetry of that name?
Yeah.
Isn't that, like none of us really think of, 101 Dalmatians, my friends. Like, 101 Dalmatians, you don't think the bad guy's name was really, like, Cruel Devil. But if we psychoanalyze it for but, like, a millisecond... Yeah. Uh-huh. That's how I would define, as a young little boy, somebody that killed dogs and then rocked their skin, especially friendly dogs, you know? So, here we are.
Is that the same story with the lady and the tramp? Like the dog, the one with the pasta, and they eat the pasta in each other's mouth? Same movie?
No. Stan!
No. What movie is that one?
That's Lady and the Tramp.
Okay,
Stan.
All right. I'm getting confused with dogs in this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I mean,
all right, Cruella de Vil. I know who she is for sure. Very
Remember Dalmatians? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like you actually spoke of the one romantic moment between two dogs in a Disney film. Like, was that when they were in a back alley and then they closed lips for the first time on one string of spaghetti?
Right. Yeah, cutest scene ever.
I'm talking about the most threatening doggy movie of all time. You remember Cruella de Vil? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, for
sure.
She
was chasing the Dalmatians, and there were 101 of them. How many coats could she make, man?
Yeah.
That horrified me as a kid. When you actually start discerning that there's someone out there trying to kill dogs, well, I started having nightmares. I started having nightmares so bad that they became recurring. I started having nightmares so bad that I remember hearing the beat of my own heart as I rested my ear against the pillow
and
thinking that was the marching drum for Cruella de Vil coming. And I didn't even understand, like, the idea of hearing your own heartbeat in your ear. I didn't even know how to ask that question to my parents. I just thought Cruella de Vil was coming. So it was a horrifying thing for me, and... The interesting thing is I started having, clearly, as we all would, as we all should, have nightmares about Cruella de Vil. Well, what happened
so
was...
So what would happen in the nightmares? Would she be chasing you or what?
Yeah, yeah, at first. And it was all about me and her, and I didn't have any thicker plot than that. Like, she was going to get me, she was going to hurt me, she was going to hurt my family. And the thing is, Stan, it kept happening. I'm not saying every single night, but I'm saying five nights of the week as I was a kid.
Jeez.
And, you know, imagine those impressionable years going from five to eight.
Having to have something like that is just, in your mind, is crazy. Yeah. And there's nothing, at that point, you had no self-control to know how to fight it or do better, you know?
No. You run to your parents' room when you wake up and you say, I'm having a nightmare of Cruella de Vil again. That's all I could do. And it was horrifying. I hated sleep. I mean, it's, I still have a weird experience with sleep. And as you know, time.
Have you had a Cruella de Vil dream since you've been out of that phase or no?
Unfortunately, no. And I say unfortunate because I went from 5 years old to 8 years old, still petrified, 12 years old. Started getting older, started recognizing these recurring dreams. I was in high school, my friends, by the time I was finally done with Cruella de Vil dreams. And I'm not saying I was having them as frequently or often. They changed. Just like, you know, our subconscious mind would mold the bad guy in a dream differently. My feelings, my fears transformed, but she was the face of them. However... Okay. I recognized her. Recognized her. And what that did was let me know immediately, I'm dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened was I wouldn't just wake up in fear. Like when we're having an amazing dream or a horrible nightmare, what we people do, we wake up immediately. Then we go back to sleep, wake up again, and we forget. We go about our day and we forget. No, what started to happen to me was I struck the balance with, you know, pretty much what, you know, our beta wave of being awake and our alpha wave of kind of starting meditative mode and thinking differently, being relaxed and going straight down into delta sleep mode. And you've heard of rapid eye movement, REM. Sleep and that sort of thing. Well, all of that is shaped by our brain waves. And really, when you move down into your lower brain waves, you basically slow down time. And they describe those brainwave levels as experiencing a state of timelessness.
Okay.
So for a later podcast, Stan, you'll understand a separate thing for me. However, for the time being, what happened was I recognized Cruella de Vil. Every time I saw Cruella de Vil, I knew I was dreaming, and I no longer was scared enough to jump away. I was empowered. I believed I could do things, and I started flying.
That's awesome, buddy. That's kind of crazy, though, too.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Mm-hmm. It created a lot of restless nights. But want to know what? I would also, you know, pray for them to have that because it's a blessing. It's super empowering. Want to know what? I recognize Cruella de Vil in my everyday life now. My fear is manifested in that face, and I recognize my own.
I think, were there any other characters or anything that you would dream about?
Interestingly, by the time I got into high school, I had a dream about Cruella de Vil's daughter. And it was really weird. I mean, it got to a point, it was probably because of puberty or something. But basically, we had like a love-hate relationship. It was really interesting. It was probably literally puberty, like hormones and stuff like that. But that's when I really got into being able to control my dreams, not just remembering and recognizing dreams. but like actually being able to control them, make my own decisions without waking up, and surf the brainwave. That's really cool.
I wish I could do something like that.
You can, man. You've flown. We all
can. Yeah, I have flown in a dream. It was intense.
Have you ever meditated?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever tried?
No, not really.
Have you ever been in a moment of just like calm?
I was just talking with somebody about this the other day, like how I want to start meditation stuff.
And yeah. This
person was telling me their intense story about it. I guess it can get pretty intense.
What happened?
They were just saying like people were like crying and like, you know, people like connected with like their lost family member, like a whole nine.
Sure.
Months. I was like, wow. Okay. I get that that could be all a placebo effect.
No.
But
you're right. I mean, like it can be anything. Placebo effect is the most real of all effects.
Oh, for sure.
There's more of a. It's want to know what's beautiful though. What the weakest part of the word placebo is the fact it implies fake, because the fakeness is the realness in the yin and the yang.
Ha. Yeah, you know, it's a good point, man.
You know what I mean? Like, it's really more beautifully put to me, placebo is just a reflection of mind over matter.
Yes, I would agree with that completely.
The dream relationship is very similar to meditation. Okay. And anyone that meditates, that doesn't embrace the power of dreams, is, you know, shorting themselves out of their own meditation experience. Dreams are just one stage down where are you as in control as you need to be to ride that wave? Most people that say they can't meditate because, well, frankly, technology and the Western world combined are teaching them ADD. Like, just distractions, constant distractions. Like, you can't lose yourself in a quiet moment in time and just be at peace and forget of all your happiness and pain. Just let go and see what comes. Well, want to know what? It's that power in dreams that's amazing. It's a clean slate, and you undoubtedly have that subconscious mind working hard. If you have a lot of pent-up emotion, your dreams will reflect it. But that's important to work through it at that time, right?
Yeah, man. I think that's the most important part, actually, and the part that we're all missing.
So, Cruella DeVille was my gateway success drug.
Wow.
I had night terrors for so long that I started recognizing the repeated night terrors and recognizing that I wasn't going to be hurt. I was going to be alive in the morning. I was going to remember. I was going to be okay. And
that's important to tell yourself that too, you know. It's true, but
right. And it's important in life. It's an important lesson to learn in a dream or anywhere we learn it, but it's important to remember in life. It's why, Stan, I was saying, like, I see the same Cruella DeVille today wearing a different mask, right? Every day in a different moment, but, like, you be brave enough to smile and just know, wait a second, I can lucid dream and I can control this situation. I want to know what? God bless you, Peter Pan. I can fly. Think of happy thoughts, my friend.
I feel pretty. I feel. Yeah.
Is that what Peter Pan's saying?
No, he wasn't saying that.
Are you? Is that a throwback to that band you referenced? Personal
no,
Jesus?
No. I just saw Peter Pan the other day. That definitely wasn't one of the songs.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know.
You really took me back. I mean, now granted, it wasn't so far fetched that I didn't ask the question. I was like, is it maybe in the Broadway performance that they just riff on "I can fly, I can fly, I can fly"? I mean, so I started to master my dreams for a minute, right?
So when you do, though,
yeah.
I mean, do you ever wake up and say, like, yes, I mastered that dream, that was awesome? Or is it just more of, like, an assessment of what the dream was, how you did in it, what your participation was, or maybe even a little bit of a grief, like, man, I don't remember everything, and it was cool, but it got away from me.
Ah, yes.
What do you mostly experience?
That was awesome. But yeah, like, Stan, like, I would say, sincerely, the first two aspects of it are very legit. You never regret. You never have any regret anymore because you recognize what regret is. You start to escape time. Regret only slows us down. It creates future nightmares that will also inhibit you. So you become comfortable, like almost at peace with that. Okay. And then you slowly are able to apply it in life if you believe you can apply it in life. But I know you can. For myself, it's not even an opinion. I've proven it. You see me change.
I have seen you.
In really unique ways that I never thought I would. But I also came to the, like, undoubted conclusion we all can the same way. It's not a matter of the kind of faith you have, kind of background you have. It's a matter of just deciding. Mm-hmm. And to your point, what I experienced was like, hell yeah, at first, for sure, hell yeah. And then also a lot of dissection. But okay. The dissection led to bigger hell yeahs, and the bigger hell yeahs led to bigger dissections. The scariest part, though, Stan, was I started having what's called sleep paralysis.
Okay.
Or where you felt like you were trying to wake up or you wanted to get somebody to wake you up, but you couldn't.
Yes, that I have had.
Yes, that's what it is. And you almost feel frozen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's sleep paralysis, and most of us have had that. And there's actually a like medical term or whatever for it. There's some fancy term. Like, who cares?
Okay.
It's real or it's not.
Right.
Like,
right.
Most of us, what's the medical term for flying in our dreams? Most of us have, and it's amazing.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, it's got to be one of the top five feelings in life, right?
Oh, I think so.
I mean, I would rank it next to one obvious number one. It's right in between one obvious number one and one obvious number two. Is
yeah. Both bodily functions.
Yeah, I get. Yeah. One was very physical and one was very cerebral. And I'll take either or depending on whether I'm awake or sleeping, I guess.
Right.
Maybe I'll take both, either or, awake and asleep. But yeah, so sleep paralysis started to happen to me frequently because I was riding the wave between dreamland and awake land, you know?
Wow. That's crazy, man.
And then that happened toward the end of high school. Then in college, ooh, I'm a free boy, right? I already learned all this. I'm not talking about it yet, really. I talked to you along the way and others. I wasn't ashamed of it. I felt empowered by it. But I started playing with my dreams. And what I started doing was playing with my subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. So in order to lucid dream every night, and lucid dream is being able to recognize a dream while you're dreaming and then start to manipulate reality around it.
Okay.
Like, remember the movie Inception?
Yeah, I never saw it, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. As all people with our time, you agree, Leo is one of the great actors.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see it.
I
haven't seen it. Yeah.
I'm shocked. Yeah. I mean, all right. So in another way, you've obviously seen The Matrix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
All of them.
I mean, it's, yeah.
And you know they got another one coming out. They're rebooting that series.
Interesting. I'm not surprised. But, you know, I'll see it. It's kind of like what they do to me with Star Wars. All right, go ahead and take advantage of me.
Did you go see Solo?
Yeah.
Did you go see? No, I didn't yet. Oh, okay.
I took my kids to the last two Star Wars, and they're young, as you know.
Yeah, of course.
But I remember, man. Did you take your son?
Yeah, we went to go see Solo. It was okay. It was
good,
not great.
Yeah, maybe we'll wait for rental. I mean, I'm definitely taking them to Jurassic Park.
Me too. Yeah,
you got to.
Got to. That's a theater movie. You got to see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you got to, like, yeah, they'll have a couple nightmares along the way. They'll be braver, and they'll always remember going to movies with dad. That's not just, like, an Inside Out movie. Or, like, hey, let's go see Shrek. Well, I mean, maybe we all should remember
Somebody
that.
Once told me the word.
Shrek. Friggin' Shrek.
And awesome Shrek. Let's like no one can talk smack
about
Shrek.
You gotta love Shrek, man.
Shrek. I mean, like, he's pretty much everything we all want to be when we're also at our worst.
Right.
But yeah, so from sleep paralysis, I got to that cocky point, right? I overcame sleep paralysis. It would happen now and again, right? And it sucks. It still happens now and again. Because you're riding the beta wave and alpha wave and delta wave right between wanting to be awake and being frozen physically, feeling your physical body when you're really, like, intellectually and spiritually free. That's where I believe, like, this is without research, but that's where I feel and experience. That's why I believe it exists, is, like, riding that wave. When you stop waking up to nightmares and that sort of thing, or stop waking up to, like, amazing dreams because you believe they can't be real, like, you start walking around and then, like, eventually you start getting too close to awake and it gets real scary then because you get frozen. Well, once I kind of mostly got past that, and it will happen again, like I said, but it doesn't happen frequently. It's short-lived and you got to embrace it. Well, I started to prepare myself to lucid dream every night for a while in college.
All right.
I came home the summer of freshman year. Remember when I lived, when I had my room in the basement? All the other kids took all the bedrooms and I was in the basement. Do you remember that phase?
No.
You don't? Oh, remember the scary area of my basement?
It
was where they made it a workout room at some point, but then it turned into my bedroom.
I don't remember. Yeah, I guess I kind of do.
Yeah. And that remember back where the ping pong table was, like another level further?
Right.
Well, like, I mean, it was carpeted, but it was still too
close. Well, that was
temporary,
right?
Well, yeah, I was home for college.
Yeah.
It was just when I was in college.
It's hilarious, though, yeah.
What's that?
It was hilarious. I forgot about that.
Yeah. No, I love reminding you of things, Stan. but yeah, what happened was I would literally look around my room. And this is a loophole on life too, friends. When you're ready for it, just be prepared because this is about to get crazy. I would look around, Stan, and I would look at my current experience and I would look at my dirty sock on the floor. All right.
Okay.
I'd look at my dirty sock on my floor and I'd be like, everything I experience from now until the time I wake up and get out of bed and see this dirty sock on the floor is a dream. Okay.
Okay.
So what?
Some little breadcrumbs for you, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. I would plant some little breadcrumbs in my head and, what happened was, it doesn't get any better. There's a step. Yeah. I tried to, like, beat a system that isn't meant to be beaten way.
That's the truth, man.
And, the truth is, you got to accept things and just be brave and spiritually at peace and stuff. Well, no, I started to intellectually fight myself. It was me versus me. So what would happen was, my dreams that summer, 90% of them, at least the ones I could remember, they would start off with me in that damn bed.
Oh,
that
really?
Same damn bed. It wasn't any different. Want to know what? At first, I didn't see that sock. Eventually, I started to see things that I saw right before I went to bed, and I was really asleep.
Wow.
And this is where the first time, this was my one summer where I had multiple in a row dreams within a dream. and nothing will mess a mind up. I'm lucky that I'm not a schizophrenic right now. Jeez. Because, like, having dreams within a dream, I'm not sure if I've woken up yet. Stan, are you real?
Right.
You wake up, and at some point it's like, okay, am I really woken up? It actually starts, you need to see the movie Inception, but the dream within the dream phase is the beautiful phase that we either win or lose. And that's where the spiritual strong ones of us, like, we come out. And I'm fortunate to have. I don't know why I deserve to. But my circumstances worked in a way where I can comfortably just keep rocking my roll, rolling my rock. No matter
awesome,
what.
Man.
It doesn't matter if I'm dreaming right now. Shit.
Maybe it
it's
is
a good
dream.
Time.
No, that's really cool, man. Thanks for taking us full circle and bringing it back, too. And it's really neat to think of the kind of trials and tribulations you went through. And, you know, now here you are, and you kind of got a grasp on dreams. And now we know why everybody should and can respect you in the subject. I mean, you've certainly been through it more than probably what most people have. Might be a person or two listening. It's like, yeah, brother, right there with you.
Well, I mean, mostly I'm talking about, like, hey, have you ever flown in a dream?
Right.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever remembered a dream? Have you ever tried to remember a dream that you've forgotten? Mostly I'm saying all the things we just don't talk about enough as people.
No, we don't. I know that for me, in particular, I'm going to try very hard to somehow remember something tonight. I think it would be cool. And, you know, sometimes you just don't get a dream, whether you try or not. You know?
Oh, you get them.
I mean, they're there. There's something. There's some sort of process happening. And they are a dream still, I guess. But they might be completely abstract.
Remember the Matrix? Like, when he tapped into the example Matrix? Like, the mainframe or whatever they called it? And it was just pure white?
Yes, I do.
It's the blank canvas, Stan. That's what dreams are. It's just most people forget after they've had it. And most people don't write their own. Things just start showing up because they leave their own wild imagination without technology or with technology. Interesting thing to consider. Like, have you ever left the TV on in the background and fallen asleep?
Sure.
Have you ever had a dream that's kind of like, oh, no wonder I had that dream because that's on?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's influencing the mainframe. It's creating the shapes instead of us. You know what I mean? It's dictating the momentum of the dream. But yeah, I believe the dreams always come. It's first remember, then learn how to manage, and then learn how to bring them to life.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. It's a good plan of attack.
Stan, keep a dream journal, if you want to call it. No one wants to call it that. Keep a pen and pad and write down your dream.
All right, well,
let's
do it. Let's do that on our first dream tomorrow. And remember that song, too? Dream.
Yeah, I know two words, but they're both dream.
And I love you. And then I forget.
Right, we all do. That would be one of those songs that comes on and, like, everyone in the crowd goes, dream.
Everybody just love it. And
dream,
then
dream, dream. And then, like, it's the start, and then everyone's like, blah, 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 and they start moving their legs.
And then the chorus. Dream. Well, Stitch, I think this concludes our fourth podcast together, and it's been a heck of a ride, and I appreciate your wisdom on dreams, man. You are the guy to talk to, but thanks for being with us. Loopholes on Life.
Learn from the past, live for the moment, love for an eternity, my friends.